Kelly Templin joins us this morning. Thank you for being with us, first of all.
Glad to be here.
Gosh, I don't know where we start. It's from what Bill Flores said this morning, it sounds like we won't have any immigrants here, people, whatever you want to call them. I know we can offend people no matter what we call them. But never at any point did I actually hear that College Station would end up being a place for any of these. Can you tell me the part that College Station was playing in this where we were a week ago?
Very interesting. I found out about this because somebody in Bryan was Bryan City Hall was good enough to give me a call and say, "Hey, were you aware of this?" We were not. Nobody had informed College Station, you know, that other than the folks in Bryan that this was on its way. So I think, like everybody else, we immediately sat down and asked ourselves, "What does this mean? What are the impacts? Will these children be bused to College Station Independent School District? What are the demands on the community?" So, you know, we wanted to talk about the logistics of that. Of course, a number of folks recall that we housed a number of refugees from Hurricane Ike and what have you, and Katrina, and so felt certain that whatever accommodations were necessary, we could probably rise to the challenge. But were there a lot of questions? Yes. You know, how long would these folks be here? You know, what did the healthcare community, what would they be called upon to do? So it was more questions than anything else. Mm-hmm. And a number of folks did contact City Hall. And unfortunately, I had no answers for them because we'd not heard from the federal government. And were we sort of preparing for the eventuality? Yes. So I was relieved to hear from our congressman this morning that that burden may have passed, but that came as a bit of a surprise.
Well, and again, it's interesting because obviously you bring a different skill set into this position. One of them is that you were a city manager of a coastal town.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that the governor mentioned 2 weeks ago when he was in Washington, D.C. is if we had a natural disaster while we had these other people in Texas as well, it would make it very difficult. But again, College Station may well be called on if we do have some sort of a weather situation.
It's, you know, another storm is a sure thing. It's just when it's going to happen. And Texans are resilient. We will rise to the challenge. We will take care of our own. We always have. You know, those questions, having followed the story on a sort of on a national basis and listening to the comments of the mayor of Murrieta, California, and he didn't have any answers. It was just questions. How long will this burden be in the community? What will we be required to put forward as far as health care, public safety, what have you? He had no answers, only questions, and that's really the boat that we were in. So mm-hmm. we'd like to know more about the situation and find out what the national plan is.
Yep. And we may yet be called into it before it's all said and done.
That is correct.
Well, let's turn on to other things. This is the first opportunity we've had to talk to you since the board of directors of Blinn has decided that LIHTC is not the answer, at least right now.
Yes.
So I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, all along, make it very clear, the city of College Station never recruited Blinn. It didn't seem necessary to recruit Blinn. And I think, as I said here before, what the mayor and I had told, we were invited to go down and speak to the board, and our message was very simple. We support Blinn, and we will support you whether you locate in Bryan or in College Station or in somewhere else in Brazos County, because we see their mission as essential to Texas A&M, and of course, you know, we are the home of Texas A&M University. So we wanted to be supportive. There was never a desire or a need to actively recruit them. If they decided to go to LIHTC, we would meet the impacts in the best way that we could. We're going to support them wherever they wind up, because they're essential to Texas A&M, and they're going to be a partner in Brazos County for a long time. So it's I guess I was a little surprised. I thought maybe LIHTC was, they were headed toward a decision on that, an affirmative decision on that. Am I disappointed? No. I don't have to deal with the traffic impacts. I'm not looking at having to work on an overpass there at Southwest Parkway. So those burdens have sort of passed us unless they come to another location in College Station. But again, I want to be very supportive of Ms. McMullen and the Blinn staff. We get along terrifically with them. She's been a great communicator. So we'll continue to be a partner with Blinn.
This is a question I'll ask Bryan leadership the next time they're in, so I'll ask you today. As part of College Station leadership, Bryan floated bonds to help build that campus in Bryan. Mm-hmm. If the situation arises that College Station is still in the game and there might be a campus in College Station, what's your feeling on College Station floating bonds to be able to help them build a campus?
Well, of course, I won't have a vote on that matter, but I don't see that coming to pass in College Station. We're reviewing the budget right now. We have a lot of needs, and some of that has been a bit exacerbated by the fact we've been through a recession, we laid off 63 people, et cetera. So we have a lot of needs and a lot of capital needs that have resulted from our growth. I don't mean that in a negative way. A lot of this growth has been very positive. You look at the franchises and the things that have come to College Station that are going to supplement our quality of life. But adding an additional burden to float bonds for a tax-free entity, I think that would be tough for the voters in the city of College Station, looking at the burdens already before them with the school district and the city. again, I don't have a vote in that matter, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Kelly Templin, the city manager of College Station, joining us. Let's transition over to the budget and talk about that, because you are discussing it, and you did lay off 63 people.
Yes.
And College Station was a different place then, and the money was being spent differently. So now as you try to rebuild, as you try to do some backfill into the budget, what are the areas that are priorities for you as far as adding budget and or staff?
Well, that's we've looked at a lot of deferred maintenance. If you look at the cuts, those 63 positions took place primarily in parks and public works, and a number of items, including street maintenance, what have you, parks maintenance, play playground equipment, things like that. A lot of that has been deferred. We've got a lot of parks. We have one of the highest park acreages per capita in the nation. So we've made that investment. We purchased those parks. We need to maintain them. So we need to look very carefully about reinvesting in the parks, and we need to look carefully at public works and street maintenance, what have you. The same is true of water, wastewater. We need to be sure that infrastructure is sound. Once that gets away from you, it's very, very difficult to get that back. You can look at other cities around the state of Texas and in the country where they've deferred that for too long, and now they can't catch up. College Station's not in that position, but we don't want to get in that position. So we're going to look carefully. With our growth, there's stress on police, fire, but also on those less visible departments like parks, public works, finance. So we're going to look carefully. We're going to grow at a very conservative pace, because one thing we don't want to get into is a position where we're fat and happy and we reach another recession and we're looking at another 63 layoffs. We're not going to do that again.
What would you say to that person who says, well, you got into the park situation because you allowed that to get too big?
No. I'm not going to dispute that. The Parks Department in College Station, if you compare that to other cities back in the day, it was huge. Now, that being said, the demands for soccer fields from the local population, for softball fields, baseball fields, and back in the day when I was here, it was tremendous. The soccer lobby here was tremendous. They were putting in more fields than the Parks Department was requesting back in the day. So we have this infrastructure on the ground. Now we're benefiting from that from an economic development standpoint. Drive up the bypass on the weekend and look at the softball players in Central Park. You know, those folks are bringing a lot of disposable income to College Station. So we have to keep that up. And I can tell you, my son played select baseball. We traveled the state and outside the state. And if we went to a place that had bad facilities, bad fields, boy, we never went back there. So if we're going to use this as an economic development tool, we have to maintain those fields. And as we bring more and more tournaments in, there's more and more wear on those. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle, but our parks are a tremendous asset, and it's a huge part of our quality of life. So we want to maintain at least the current quality, if not maintain that. And again, we have some deferred maintenance there. We have some street issues we need to take care of, and we're going to look at backfilling a few of those positions to provide a little relief. We need to fill a couple of engineering positions so that we can work on some capital improvements and finish our bond issue before we look at another one. So we're being very careful about it and being very conservative, despite the fact that the sales tax and hot tax, the ad valorem rolls are up, what have you. We're not going to count on that being the case in the long term. We're going to grow very steadily and very conservatively.
Former city councilman said College Station is the best city it can be at this tax rate. As you are looking at a new budget and growth parameters are, I mean, growth in every segment seems to be there, but in reality, that bucket of asphalt costs a lot more than it did 10 years ago.
Boy, howdy, does it. Everything does. Steel, concrete, sand, everything costs more. And we're in an interesting labor conundrum here where we're not just competing with Kyle Field, actually, which is absorbing not only the labor in Brazos County, but surrounding counties and as far away as Denton. People are, you know, driving here to work on that stadium. So now that's a temporary issue. Mm-hmm. But trying to get people to run weed eaters and ride backhoes right now, filling those positions is difficult because we've got this blip. Materials are more expensive right now. And you talked about the tax rate. College Station has one of the lowest tax rates in the state of Texas. And I pledge to keep it there. As to whether, 43 cents is exactly where we need to be, hard to say. It's never my intention, or I never approach a budget with, hey, folks, we're going to raise taxes this year. I don't get a vote on that either. But we need to look at it very carefully and see what we need to do in the short term, again, to catch up on that deferred maintenance. We're going to present a number of options to the city council as to whether the current rate or the effective rate or what's appropriate going forward. But whatever we do, again, it's in our nature, we'll be conservative. I'm a taxpayer, too. I watch the federal government and everybody else, and not like everybody else, I'm a critic of that, of government waste, and I believe that every level of government, including local government, can be more efficient. So we're constantly looking for better ways to save money.
Simple explanation for people so they'll understand what is an effective tax rate and what is the real tax rate, because we'll be hearing these things. So can you just kind of give us a 101 on that?
Very simply, the effective tax rate is which will be calculated by the appraisal district. They're going to look at your tax rolls and the this year, the increase in the tax rolls because of the accrual and value of property within College Station. They're going to calculate the rate at which you can capture the same amount of revenue you had last year on those properties. With the increase in values in College Station, the effective rate is going to be a lower tax rate than we currently have on the books. So if the city council maintains, say, the current rate, it would effectively, for legal purposes, that's a tax increase because the city would derive more tax dollars from the same properties that were on the tax rolls in the current year. So that's the difference, and pardon me, that escapes me sometimes, that the masses don't necessarily know the difference between the current and an effective rate. We don't have that effective rate. We're waiting to find out exactly what that's going to be, and so that we can calculate what that means to us. The properties that are new on the tax roll from last year are not contained within that, so there'll be more revenue from that. The question is will that get us caught up? Will that catch us up in the deferred maintenance on streets, parks, those kinds of things? So, been looking at the budget. This is the most in-depth and serious policy document we produce every year, and spent many long hours on this. The finance staff in College Station is terrific, but Jeff Kirsten comes down to my office at 6:30 about every evening with more and more good news. They're doing good work up there. So I think there's more good news on the horizon than there is bad. There are challenges, we're going to work through those the way we always have. College Station is going to continue to prosper, and we just need to be the best stewards we can.
Well, let's talk about the blip, as you mentioned, and that blip has to do with, and folks know it, that they're doing seismic testing around here.
Yes.
We're sitting on oil and gas. There's
yes,
no doubt
are.
About that.
Yes,
I guess you want to find a way to capture that as best you can without disrupting what we have here.
Well, the evidence is already there. I mentioned to you earlier that these loads of pipe stem that used to come up into Highway 6 are now exiting in Bryan College Station. I followed a load of it down University Drive right through the heart of College Station the other day. So there's no doubt that fracking has arrived in Brazos County. It's actually been going on for some time. And that's the extraction of those minerals is going to be, as you say, a blip. You know, what we know of oil and gas production is you're going to get 60% typically production out of a well in the first 18 to 24 months. So you'll see an increase in that ad valorem, those ad valorem numbers, and then it'll decrease over time. So, and I know you've talked to the judge about this. We need to be very careful not to look at that as any kind of long-term income stream. We need to look at that for one-time improvements, for, you know, current needs, but not anything ongoing, not personnel, not anything that would be a long-term obligation. So that's also, we're going to approach that in a very conservative fashion.
Now, you just finished having a conference of city managers, and I'm sure one of the things that y'all discussed was, what is Austin doing, and what could that possibly cause as far as problems in the near future?
Well, we're very lucky in Texas. We have the Texas Municipal League, and they monitor what goes on in the legislature. We're also lucky here in Bryan College Station to have John Rainey and Kyle Cassell, who are really good communicators. They're quick to take a phone call and listen to somebody's opinion on a piece of legislation. So that we have advantages here. There's nothing that I think the city managers in Texas are quaking in fear over currently, but that's something we're going to monitor very carefully, and we always do, with the assistance of the Texas Municipal League and others. Every now and then there's a piece of legislation we feel we have to act on. I don't have anything currently that I can tell you about, but that's something that between the legal staff in the city, the TML, the City Managers Association, that we always take great care to keep an eye on.
Well, you know, we're in an interesting situation because four of the 11 largest cities in America are in Texas.
Yes.
And College Station, Brian, are kind of on that cusp because we still certainly have agriculture as a very important part of our economy, but there's a cosmopolitan feel that we have here that we didn't even have just a few years ago. So where exactly does the Bryan-College Station area fall from a legislative standpoint? Are we municipal? Are we rural? Where are we?
Well, the perspective on Bryan-College Station is that it's becoming more and more urban because of our growth. But there can be no doubt about it. I mean, we're surrounded by agriculture, and it's what we're known for. It's the reason Texas A&M is here. So striking that right balance is always a challenge before the legislature. I just heard the other day Texas produces more cotton, you know, than any state in the nation, and I believe always has, or has for quite some time. But we are still, you know, quite an agricultural state, and we can't lose sight of that. Houston's growing at an unprecedented rate, fastest growing MSA in the country, I believe. That's because of the energy sector. But that's reaching out and touching everybody in Texas. Midland, Odessa, I believe the Eagle Ford Shale is in 28 counties. So you're seeing growth, unprecedented money spending on this oil production. And it's reached Brazos County. So we're going to see the effects of that. But again, as always, we need to strike the right balance and work closely with our representatives, and we will.
So finally, as an administrator over this one of these cities that is in this area that is shifting, what kind of tool set do you need to have for your mid-management administrators now that maybe didn't need to be here even when you were at College Station before?
Well, I feel like I'm lucky to have worked in a number of different environments, so I've seen a number of different responses to, I guess, different scenarios. So I believe we have the right mix of people here where we've got folks that have been with the city 30, 35 years. And we've got people from outside and other environments. So we've got a great mix. We've got the institutional memory that we need, and we also have people with outside experience that can talk about the way things were done in other cities or even other states. You know, we've got very dedicated people. As a matter of fact, Officer Jay Borda, shout out to him. He has patrolled the streets of College Station for 30 years, and we're going to honor him today, 30 years. He started patrolling the streets when I was a junior at Texas A&M University. Okay. That's how long ago. I was a student at Texas A&M. But again, we have incredibly dedicated people, and I feel very certain we have the right people with the right skill set. But we're going to continue to build that. We're going to continue. When we bring people on board, we're going to bring the right people on board. And I think College Station's got a bright future because of its people and because of the direction, because of that growth. We have to continue to manage those impacts and look very carefully so that we maintain our culture and we have a sustainable and beautiful city.
Kelly Templin is the city manager of College Station. Thanks for coming in again. Look forward to a visit in the future.
Enjoyed it.
You bet.